Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
So it's time to get back to school, and that's what I want to talk to you today about, is back to school. And it's really a wonderful time. It allows families to get back into a routine. Even for those no longer involved with school, it allows you to kind of adjust to finish your year strong. The lines and the crowds at stores get smaller, right, because all the kids are going somewhere else. But even, with that mindset, though, I want to spend August preaching to you from the Word of God about getting back to some things. And obviously this week, that thing we're getting back to is getting back to school. And I'm not going to necessarily talk so much about getting back to school as much as I am some things that will be helpful to us as we get back into school and into a routine in our lives. The book of Proverbs here talks about or begins with some family instructions. One author put it best when he wrote, "Family instruction is the trunk from which wisdom grows." And I found that to be the case in my life, and I know many of you have in your own lives. But you know, in our Western culture, it's not so much the family or even the church anymore that is the major influence in a child's life. In fact, in our Western culture, the primary influences in the life of young people include their teachers, their schoolmates, and even worse, the entertainment industry. Those have become the primary influences in their lives. And not to say that a teacher is a bad influence. Most times teachers are a good influence, but poor teachers have their hands tied by mainly the parents a lot of times and what the parents aren't doing at home. Wisdom comes from the home. It's important in our homes that we prepare our children. And we rely upon the church to assist us with that. And I'm thankful for a good church where I can bring my children so they can learn and get back to things that they need to. God's plan is for parents to be the primary teachers of wisdom. If you're a young person here today and your parents work with you that way, they make you go to church, they give you some rules to abide by, they're kind of strict on you, you should thank God for that. They're making a difference in your life. Even though you don't like it, they're making a difference in your life. Our thinking is so messed up, though. We go to a sports coach who is hard on our children, and we convince them, and they agree that this is good for them because they're going to get to put on a uniform and play ball and do good at it. But when a parent is hard on their children, it's going to make them better in life. We say, well, that's abuse. That's mean. You ought not be that way with your parents. And that's just not true. Some of the favorite people I have in my life are those who are the hardest on me younger on. Coaches, teachers. The teachers I really remember, you know which ones they are? They're the ones I said were mean when I was in school. My sixth grade math teacher, Mrs. Watkins, I remember her for two things. I remember how she made me erase and rewrite a lot of math problems. And that was back in the day. The math books have changed now. I don't know what they use in Cheatham County, but in Georgia, before we left, Ms. Shanae and I were in education there. The math books had changed. When I was in school, those Merrill math books, y'all remember those? 58,000 problems per page, right? Y'all remember those? And you had to do every one of them and show your work. I hated showing my work in school. I knew the answer. Whether I got it from the back of the book or the guy sitting next to me or my older sister or the calculator I used, I knew the answer. I didn't want to have to show my work. But I remember Miss Watkins for that. She made me erase and show my work. And my handwriting was poor. My handwriting is still poor. Some of you think I'm not very personable. I know you do because I send you stuff that's typed. But you don't want it written. I promise you don't want it written. Just know that I took the time to hit the keys and hit print and fold it up for you, okay? You wouldn't be able to read it if I wrote it out for you. But I also remember because my dad worked for the DOT. We call them T-DOT up here. It was just called the DOT in Georgia. I don't know why we didn't call them G-DOT or something like that. My dad, he drove an orange-yellow truck all the time, you know. Everybody knew when we were coming in Dad's Georgia DOT truck. And everybody thought they could get signs from Dad because he worked for the Department of Transportation on a road crew. And my sixth grade math teacher, she wanted a farmer crossing sign to put out by her farm. She wanted one with grass like a hayfield with a farmer on a tractor with a thing coming out of his mouth like he was chewing on the hay with his hat on. She wanted a sign like that. She stayed on my dad the whole year about that, getting her that sign. I don't know if he ever did or not. Probably would have had a better average in there if Dad had gotten her that sign. But often, you know, how do we judge children? How do we judge everybody? Most of the time we do by the outward appearance. That's how we judge people, is by their outward appearance. But according to our text today, verse number 9 says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck." What is the they there? That's back to verse number 8. "The instruction of your father and the law of your mother will be an ornament of grace about your head and chains about your neck." So according to our text there, it is the adornment of parental wisdom that makes a child attractive. Well, that's so important for us to learn as adults with a lot of children looking up to us. Young people, that's important for you to be aware of. As a young person who every day is cast out into public to be essentially an adult when you're really not, and you have to kind of act like you are, that's important for you to understand that as people judge your outward appearance, there are other things than how you're dressed or what you can do or what you say or anything like that. It is by heeding the instruction of your father and obeying the rules of your mother. Those are so important. That if you can get that piece of wisdom, you can make a big difference in your life. As children obey what they have learned from their parents, God's truth becomes a lovely ornament to beautify their lives. The author here is writing as, it would be like a crown on a king, or the jewelry on a queen. So this is our back-to-school Sunday. Tonight we're having our back-to-school bash. Are y'all excited about the back-to-school bash? It's a lot of fun. I think we've got, how many inflatables do we have coming? 5 inflatables. Going to be an obstacle course, a bouncy house, a slide, and a basketball court. Oh, it's going to be fun. So y'all come back tonight for that and bring your friends, bring some children from your neighborhood. It's for everybody. It's not just for us. And Brother John's going to bring a special message tonight just to the young people. And then adults, we're going to take time before we let them loose on the bouncers and pray over these young people that God will keep them safe during the school year, and that God will give them wisdom during their school year. So you come back tonight. That's going to be a very special time. And with that being in mind, in the month of August, preaching about getting back to some things, I want to give you sort of a back-to-school sermon this morning. Just a few simple things about going back to school. Beginning with verse number 8, the instruction there is basically just to listen. Just to listen. How many have heard the old saying, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason? Right? What is that reason? You listen twice as much as you talk. I'm guilty of not doing that. I was really guilty of not doing that as a young person. I said things too much, and I said too much of the things that I said. And my dad was always having to say to me, "I think I was happy when you learned to talk." No, he never said that, but I know he was thinking it. Verse 8 tells us to listen to our father's instruction and not to forsake our mother's teaching. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, parents, make sure every one of your children knows this one by heart. It should be one of the first verses they learn from the Bible. What does it say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? This is right. And it is. And it's in the Bible. And it works in our culture. We should know this. We need to listen. It's evident in Scripture and it's accepted in our society that we should listen and pay attention to those who are in authority over us. Listen to those in front of you every day. Teachers, the bus driver, the cafeteria worker, the principal, the coaches, listen to what they have to say. Pay attention to them. Especially listen and pay attention to your mother and your father. And that's not just true for the youth. That's true for all of us. Paying attention to those in authority in life will pay off for you. You'll be blessed for doing what you're told to do, whether it's your mom or dad, a school teacher, adults, if it's a police officer, if it's your boss. It pays to listen and pay attention. God will bless you for paying attention to those in authority. The next thing we get is from verse number 10, avoid peer pressure. Well, that's been overused, hasn't it? We all know to avoid peer pressure. Everybody's going to jump off the bridge. Don't you go do it too. Avoid peer pressure. Look what it says in verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Is it okay if we generalize this morning, parents, and those with children around you, and just say everybody outside your kids a bunch of sinners, except those that go to church, right? And just stay away from all of them. They all mean harm to you. I don't mean to paint the picture that way this morning, but that's kind of how it's going to sound as I talk about peer pressure. But I think we all understand who to be with, who not to be with. If you don't know who your friends are, if you don't know who your children's friends are, that's a big deal. There's a new instrument introduced to our world. Your children don't just have friends at school anymore. You're aware of this? They have friends at home, on the TV, and on the internet. Make sure you know who your parents, your children's friends are. Who are their friends? Who are they friends with? If the person they're watching on TV, you wouldn't allow them in your house to spend the night, they shouldn't be watching that on TV. If what they're doing on the internet, you wouldn't allow that right in your house. It really already is right in your house. You wouldn't allow them to go to someone else's house and be that way. Don't allow that. You know, you're the parent, right? Who's still in charge in the home? Mom and daddy. That's tough, but it's the truth. Avoid peer pressure. Verse 10 says, if sinners entice you, don't consent. They will say, verse number 11, they'll say, come with us. Come on, man. Come on, it's going to be fun. Come with us. Everybody ever heard that one? There were some times as a teenager that I was a homebody. It's either sports or home or church. Church I was made to most of the time, but sometimes I wanted to go. If there were pretty girls going to be there, I'd go to church too. But those are my three areas. And my buddies would all say, come do this, come do that. And I was just happy going home eating mama's fried chicken, laying around in my bedroom watching TV. That's just what I like to do. I was a homebody. But they say, come on, come with us. Verse number 14, they say, throw in with us. You're either with us or you're not. Are you our friend or are you not our friend? You either like us or you don't like us. If sinners entice you, don't consent. Verse 15 says, don't walk with them. Keep away from their path. Don't even go to the places that they go to. What happens if you play along the creek bed too long? Slip in, right? Yeah, that's right. Avoid peer pressure. What does it mean to avoid peer pressure? It means that you don't do everything that everybody else is doing. That don't mean you don't do anything that no one else is doing. It just doesn't mean you have to do everything that everybody else is doing. Avoid peer pressure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Hopefully, parents, you're working on at home, your children having good manners. Those of you who don't have children, you all have dogs, right? Cats. You're working on good manners for them. No matter who it is in our lives, we work on their manners. We work on our own manners. Hopefully we do. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad company will ruin you. No matter how hard you work at home with your children, you let them around the wrong crowd outside of your home, it will do away with everything that you've ever done at home, everything that you've ever accomplished. Benjamin Franklin. We all know this. I didn't know Benjamin Franklin said it. But he said, he that lieth down with dogs shall rise up with fleas. How many of you have heard that? We've all heard that, haven't we? If you don't want fleas, don't play with dogs that have them. If you don't want to get into trouble, don't run with troublemakers. It's that simple, isn't it? I knew as a teenager which students drove the teachers nuts. I was smart enough at 14 and 15 years old to not sit with those guys in class. Even if they were my friends outside of class, I wasn't sitting with them in class. I didn't want the teacher grouping me with them. Because as soon as she took away their recess, she was going to take away mine too, even if I didn't do anything. And I liked to eat my snack at recess and play football. And I knew that I'm giving an 8-year-old illustration. I said I was 14. Those lines didn't match up there. I can see me out there with my Jell-O pudding playing football in high school. How do you like that? George Washington is reported to have said, associate with men of good quality if you care about your reputation, for it's better to be alone than in bad company. And that's the truth. I was in business when Miss Shanae and I first got married, and I would take classes to help me be better, to better myself, you know, those kind of classes. And one good thing that I learned from there was be around those who you want to be like. Now, they weren't talking spiritually. They weren't talking like your friends. They were saying, if you want your business to be like that guy's, you need to go be around that guy. If you don't want your business to be like this guy's, don't be around him. Don't copy his practices. Don't act like him. Don't be that way. That's wise. You know where that comes from? It comes from simple teaching like this on a Sunday morning in a little country church in the middle of nowhere from the book of Proverbs. And it works all the way up to millionaires in their business. We'll read a story to you. One time a spider built a beautiful web in an old house. He kept it clean and shiny so that flies would come in. The minute he got a customer, he would clean up on him so that the other flies wouldn't get suspicious. Then one day, a fairly intelligent fly came buzzing by the clean spider web. Old man spider came out and said, come in and sit with me. But the fairly intelligent fly said, no, sir. I don't see other flies in your house, and I'm not going alone. Soon after that, he saw on the floor below a large crowd of flies dancing around on a piece of brown paper. He was so delighted. He was not afraid, since lots of other flies were there. So he came in for a landing. Just before he landed, a bee zoomed by, saying, don't land there. That's flypaper. But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back, "Don't be silly. Those flies are dancing and having a good time. There's a big crowd. That many flies couldn't be wrong." You know the rest of the story, right? You picked him up one day and put him in your trash can along with all the other flies on your flypaper. Avoid peer pressure. Just because everybody else is doing something, it doesn't make it right. Think before you do something and don't always follow the crowd. So listen, that's good advice for back to school. Listen and pay attention. Avoid peer pressure. And parents, don't go to sleep on me. These work for adults too. And then the last one comes in verse number 7. Fear the Lord. Look at verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I don't know what area it is in for you, but every one of us in here in some area of our lives wish we had more knowledge or more wisdom. You may wish you had more knowledge in a skill. You may wish you had more knowledge with finances. You may wish you had more knowledge with I don't know what. But all of us wish we had more knowledge. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord simply, it doesn't mean walk around scared. Fear the Lord means let Him be in charge. Let Him be in control of your life. Let Him be your hero. Let Him be the star. Let Him be the person that you long to be like. That's what a Christian is, isn't it? Someone trying to be like Christ. You know, society works very hard to make sure that we all have stars to look up to. We went on vacation last week, and I'm very thankful for the church allowing us to have some time away with our family. An entire city was enthralled with just one family of people on TV. Does anybody know who they are? Who are they? The Beards. Right? Everybody liked Duck Dynasty. Everybody wanted to be like the Robinsons. I got no problem with Robinsons. I like them too. I watch them on TV. I'm trying to grow me a beard. You see how far I'm getting here? No, I'm really not. I like to be clean shaven, unlike some other people I know. I'm just kidding. But the world's trying very hard to give us people to look up to. God gave us somebody a long time ago to pattern our lives to be like and to look up to. He did some amazing things, more amazing than anybody else who've ever lived. Let Jesus be your hero. Have only God as your idol. You'll never go wrong putting Him first. The fear of the Lord, putting Him first, is where knowledge begins. But you know what fools do? Without even meaning to, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be foolish. Listen and pay attention to authority. Avoid peer pressure. Fear the Lord. What will all that get you? I'll answer that by asking you another question. What is it that you want in life? What does every parent want for their child? What does every child want from their peers? To be seen as smart, nice looking, and acceptable. Even if we want more than that, that's the bare minimum, right? Verse 9 tells us plainly that walking in the ways taught in our text today will be an ornament of grace on your head, chains about your neck. You'll be viewed as a king when he's wearing his majestic crown upon his head. You'll be seen as a queen with all of her array of the finest jewelry. A wise person is respected no matter how book smart, no matter how athletically gifted, no matter how well dressed, or no matter how well popular. A wise person is always respected above that. Young people, you achieve this by honoring your parents. Parents, you help your children achieve this by instructing them in the wisdom of the Bible. Both the Old Testaments and the New Testaments affirm God's blessings upon those who honor their parents. I'm going to read both to you today as we close. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.